Hey, this is Chuck Herron with the Global Race Condition Deep Dive for Wednesday, April 22nd. Got three main stories today that are connected in ways that matter for anybody either running a security program or sitting in a boardroom somewhere. We're going to start with the Iranian ceasefire. So the ceasefire got extended indefinitely, which sounds like good news until you look at why. And the second round of talks in Islamabad collapsed before it started. And why is Iran's delegation did not even show up. We have multiple reports from ISW, Axios, Iran dispatches, FDD, others, all reaching the same conclusion. The IRGC overruled Iran's own negotiating team. Major General Vahidi, who looks like the only direct line to Mojtaba Khamenei, inserted a new precondition after Iran had already agreed to attend. So the problem here is that a negotiator who cannot commit is worse than no negotiator. That's the core problem. Anything that Ghalibaf signs, Vahidi can veto, and he's not there. Meanwhile, the Strait of Hormuz remains contested. Three container ships took gunfire this week. Data shows that more than 500 million barrels of oil have been knocked out of the global market since February, and that is, according to the IEA, the largest energy supply disruption in recorded history. So the question for the enterprise is not whether or not this affects you, because it does. The question is whether your board and your risk team can tell you with specifics what percentage of your critical vendor base has material exposure to Hormuz disruption. If they can't answer that, you need to close the gap. There's going to be supply chain disruptions here for nearly everything, from manufacturing to travel to fuel to everything. So if your risk team doesn't understand that yet, they need to get on that. And that includes, of course, your cybersecurity risk. War on the Rocks published an interesting piece today on the White House's new cyber strategy, such as it is. The short version, it pairs a pretty sound vision for resilience with policy choices that actively interfere with America's capacity to execute it. The reason for that is very simple. You can't build a cyber resilience posture while you simultaneously cut the workforce and institutional capacity that the strategy depends on. Defenders on the front line already know this. This is not news for your SecOps team or even your CISO, but here's where it gets interesting. This policy incoherence is happening sort of at every level. The NSA is now actively deploying Anthropic's Mythos model. At the same time, the DoD has flagged Anthropic as a supply chain risk. Dario Amodei met with Susie Wiles in the White House earlier this week talking about rolling out Anthropic models, including Mythos, for Treasury functions, for other administrative functions, and at the same time, it's still banned by the Pentagon. Anthropic is largely playing nice. They're trying not to angry up the U.S. government any more than they already had, but there are several organizations in the EU that are being blocked out from using the model while the UK is actively using it. So what we're seeing here is that the frontier AI capability is too useful to decline, even when the governance framework says you're not allowed to use it. And that same dynamic is about to reproduce itself inside every enterprise that deploys AI tools without some really disciplined formal governance and security reviews. What's the scale of what we're talking about here? Well, Mozilla used Mythos to find 271 vulnerabilities in Firefox. Let that number be your anchor for what AI-assisted code auditing is going to find in enterprise code bases that have never had this level of review before. This bug-pocalypse is not so much a metaphor as it is an incoming audit of everything you have deployed. 271 zero days in Firefox alone, in one audit alone. And if you want a concrete example of what's happening with our attack surfaces, just look at the Vercel breach from this week. These guys were compromised through a third-party AI integration called Context AI. We know from our industry sources like Mandiant's MTrends report, and we see this in others as well, that prior compromise is the number one vector from ransomware. Initial access is at 30%. And AI coding assistants with production access are exactly this vector deployed at scale. So if you do not have your arms around your AI tooling footprint today, that should be job one. Stop listening to this. Go get on that. If you do, well, we still have more to do, but at least you've got an inventory to work with. Many, many companies do not. This is going to become a real problem for them. It's going to be very hard to get into and fix, and we'll talk about why that is in a second. Other shortage news, though, gallium nitride, another shortage. We've talked about helium. We've talked about bromium. We've talked about natural gas, of course, and oil. Now, gallium nitride is another one. China controls 99 point something percent of the world gallium supply. They enacted export controls in 2023 and escalated to an outright ban in December 2024. The U.S. National Defense stockpile has exactly zero reserves when the ban landed at the end of 24. What does this mean? Well, gallium is used for missile defense, for radar systems, for counter-drone platforms, 5G base stations, power electronics for electronic vehicles. All of them depend on gallium nitride semiconductors that are now flowing through a single Chinese choke point. We have said this before, and we're going to say it again on the Global Race Condition newsletter. The emerging world will be one of leveraged choke points, not sheer dominating force. The global Pax Americana that we experienced from the late 90s, say, to the last couple years or so, that world is gone. And at the same time that China is leveraging this choke point now, they're also simultaneously driving an investment push towards something called a RISC-V, R-I-S-C-V architecture for non-tech folks. That is an open source chip architecture that U.S. export controls can't reach. So what China is doing here is they're leveraging their own choke points while they're building around choke points put on them by the United States, building towards chip sovereignty at the architectural level while they control the materials needed to manufacture these chips. There's no coincidences here. Choke points, dear readers, know where yours are. They are the currency of the post-US global order. You're going to see this over and over and over again, whether it's shipping, the Panama Canal, the Strait of Hormuz, the Suez Canal. You're going to see these choke point leveraging all the way through up and down supply chains. Make sure you know where your choke points are. They are going to be leveraged against you if you do not. We're also seeing echoes of 2008 with the certifier's dilemma. This is a cross-domain connection that I'm calling the certifier's dilemma because we have three stories that share an identical pattern just in different areas. And the pattern is that the institutions responsible for safety have interests that conflict with honest certification. Now, if you're in the tech space and you've seen like the, give you a SAS 70 for $20 or whatever, these vendors are obviously just in the business of checking a box for money, and you're not really getting much governance here. But those of us who lived through 2008 and the financial crisis saw this same pattern much larger when it came to the rating agencies. Now we're doing the same thing when it comes to AI strategy. The White House has authored a cyber strategy while cutting the capacity it depends on. The DoD is flagging Anthropic as a supply chain risk while the NSA simultaneously deploys the model. Mozilla is finding 271 zero days using the same tool that European allies can't access. The rating agencies back in 2008 were paid by the issuers whose instruments they rated. The result was predictable, systematic miscalibration in the direction that, of course, followed the cash. It, of course, followed the money. What I'm saying is when the certifier's incentives align with the certified's interest, you should assume that the certification is actually downstream of the interest, not upstream of the evidence. What this means for CISOs and defenders is federal guidance on AI security posture is absolutely the minimum floor here. You cannot count on this to secure your environment. The gap between what Mythos is actually finding, which is an analog to the risk actually present in the U.S. financial system in 2008, is way, way outsized different from what your actual governance platforms patch management programs probably say is actually relevant. And if you're following federal guidance to manage your risk, federal guidance is cutting back even further. So we've got a real problem with what the minimums are from a compliance perspective, what you're supposed to abide by, and your real risk. And it's just like the credit rating agencies in 2008, but now it's in information security. So we have often said that compliance and information security is the same as basically showing up mostly sober, wearing pants most days to work. Compliance is not the target. Compliance is the floor. If you're operating in the federal space, of course you have to do what the government says. But don't count on that to be anything meaningful for reduction of your risk. Those days apparently are gone as well. Now we have one more thing before I go. Carnegie Mellon, Oxford, MIT, and UCLA all published a study showing that 10 minutes of AI assistance causes measurable persistence decline when the AI is removed. That we're calling the AI persistence problem. People who got direct answers from AI showed the biggest drops. People who got hints and continued to work for themselves did not. This matters a lot for how you structure AI deployment. people are overly dependent on AI and it's making them stupider and lazier. That's not a foregone conclusion. The power of AI is undisputed. We all know that there's material benefit, but how you roll it out and how you incent the usage and what happens to your team's capabilities when the tool is unavailable, degraded, compromised, or you have to switch models is really, really not getting enough play in enterprise spaces right now. A friend of mine runs AppySec University. He posted recently that they had immediately seen, as soon as they posted some free tests and certifications, people were clicking in and obviously using LLMs to take the certification test and get the reward. This is not going to help them or their business when something goes wrong. So what matters a lot here for executives is, what's going to happen when that employee that used AI to pass that certification test has to actually understand something during a critical outage? You need to encourage scaffolded assistance instead of direct answers. There's a reason that nothing on the Global Race Conditions website comes out directly from AI. Even if we use AI to synthesize and analyze and find patterns and do historical analysis, everything comes out by a person. And remember, CISOs, your insurance carriers may not cover AI-generated decisions. We're seeing this happen already in areas like underwriting, redlining, financial decisions. And now, because AI is at the forefront of cybersecurity, be really careful that using AI to find, evaluate, prioritize, and remediate bugs is actually something that your insurance carriers will pay for. You need to make sure that you understand that, you ask your carriers directly that, and that you tell your board and other stakeholders, hey, maybe we can't cut our entire security operations team because of AI magic, because our insurance carriers aren't going to cover us if the event that we lay everybody off and trust AI to, quote, do the right thing. AI doesn't even understand what the right thing is just yet. So this is the deep dive for April 22nd. Full brief with sources and citations is at globalracecondition.com. And if you're finding this useful, please share it with somebody that you think needs it. I'm Chuck Heron, CEO and Managing Principal of Heron Advisory. We published a Global Race Condition newsletter. And thanks for listening. Y'all stay safe out there.